In 2006, Anna Politkovskaya was gunned down outside the elevator of her Moscow apartment building. By the time of her assassination, she had become established as a prominent journalist known both in Russia and across the world for her fearless reporting on murders, torture, kidnappings, and corruption committed during the Second Chechen War. Although three men were charged with her murder, they were ultimately acquitted, and many believe the true culprits are higher-ups who ordered her death. A new collection of Anna's articles has just been published under the title, in this country, of Is Journalism Worth Dying For? And it reveals a Russia mired in violence, secrecy, and corruption. It's published by Melville House, and I'm very pleased to welcome to our show Anna's sister, Elena Kudymova, one of the original editors of the book, and she helped to compile the collection shortly after Anna's death and also worked closely with the translator. Hello and welcome. I'll start with the title of the book and ask you, do you believe any kind of journalism is worth dying for?
Do you want my personal opinion?
Of course.
Anna thought it is worth. But as a family of her, we didn't. And we still don't believe because, just imagine if it happened to you. Your close sibling just killed because of his work.
Doesn't the threat of death silence many journalists around the world?
I think so, yes, especially in Russia.
And I'm assuming that Anna asked herself the question, if not me, who will do this?
Exactly.
Has this book ever been published in Russia?
Oh, yes. It was published by the first anniversary of her death in 2007.
Mm-hmm. So there are people who support what she did, obviously.
Yes, of course.
Not all the pieces in this collection involve investigative journalism. What else did she like to write about?
If she had opportunity, she probably wrote about other things. Sometimes when she was traveling abroad, I took her, for example, to a theater, and we saw a very nice performance of Argentinian tango, and she wrote a nice piece about tango, and she also wrote about
And how sex in Russia was different than
sex
in Argentina.
And she also wrote about her book, dog, who was ill, and but it's a very moving piece about her dog and how it was difficult to live with such an ill dog in a big city. And she was also interested in gardening, but she never wrote about it. And she was very interested in music because both her children started playing violin, and her daughter actually graduated from Moscow Conservatoire. She had a huge area of interest.
She was a single mother, and
No, when she had children, they were small. She wasn't a single mother, They separated with her husband in 2000, so when the children were grown, roughly grown-ups.
But she must have been concerned when she went off to some of the dangerous war zones that she was leaving her children behind.
Yes. And the children were concerned about her going there,
At the time of her death, she was writing for the independent newspaper Novaya Gazeta. Wasn't there an unfinished story that she was working on? Do we know what that was?
Yes, we know. It was about tortures in Chechnya. And it was after her death, it was finished by other people in the newspaper.
And so the newspaper continued to do the same kinds of reporting?
Yes, they are trying to continue the same time of reporting. Although after Anna was killed, the first thought of the editor-in-chief, Mr. Dmitry Muratov, was just to close the paper completely, just to finish the business, because Anna wasn't the first in the newspaper to be killed. But probably she was the most famous of among others.
Yeah, many journalists in this country became famous because of their coverage of the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And a number have told me they went there feeling that they were supporting the war, and then very quickly became disillusioned and wrote critical pieces. Of course, they weren't assassinated. Is Chechnya the same kind of hotspot for in Russia as Vietnam was here?
Vietnam was far away from United States, you know, and Chechnya is still part of Russia. It's probably a different perspective.
So people see the troops moving. They're not just going to the airport and flying off. They actually are moving through parts of Russia to get to Chechnya.
A lot of people moved out of Chechnya, and they just spread it around Russia. You know, Russia is a huge country. There are still a lot of people living there. And, of course, there is no war now. There are still shootings here and there. But, you know, it's completely different now from the time when Anna was there.
Which was in the late 90s to the early 2000s. Yep. What was the state of journalism in Russia at that time?
It's started quite nice, I would say. During Yeltsin time, Anna became very famous because she traveled to Chechnya quite often. She wrote about the Federal Army and about the rebels and about the ordinary people who was suffering from both sides. And they were inviting her to TV shows, and everybody was interested in her opinion because she was saw it by her own eyes. But since Putin came to power in 2000, you know, it started changing. And at some point, Anna was a kind of boxed, you know, because they stopped inviting her to television, to some public gatherings, and she felt it. She
I bet she couldn't get interviews with public officials either at a certain point.
No.
But were other people doing this kind of reporting? Wasn't she very critical of other Russian journalists, referring to them as clowns?
Yes, she was critical, you know, because a lot of journalists just didn't want to cover it anymore, you know. Otherwise, they have some consequences, the same consequences like Anna had, you know, that they didn't want her to be a guest at radio or TV programs anymore.
She did a lot of traveling abroad, won international awards for her writing. Was she at all critical of foreign leaders for their response to the Chechen crisis?
Yes.
And the fact that they maintained friendly relations with Putin?
Yes, I think she thought that Western leaders were quite apologetic to Putin because he supported, apparently, war against terror, and which happened in Russia, let's say. It was different issues.
Well, she there was a kind of a terror war on her. She received numerous threats. She was mm-hmm. detained. Wasn't she tortured and even poisoned?
She was. She was poisoned on a flight to Beslan when we have a school siege in 2004. And she just took a cup of tea on the plane and just collapsed. And
so they gave her poison tea, somebody?
Somebody, yes, yes. Although it wasn't never proved because they took all the results of the test, they just destroyed. When we took her in a couple of days, we took her to Moscow as a family and put her in a hospital first. There was nothing from the local hospital who took her first from the plane. And a second, in Moscow, they also said that she was poisoned, but by unknown substance, you know. But, you know, how it could be unknown substance nowadays?
Yeah, they just do a little chemical analysis and they would know what it is.
Exactly.
But it seems to me that in situations like this in Russia, and not just in Anna's case, often things become incredibly mysterious. Mm-hmm. Obviously, to protect people who are involved.
Obviously.
And the three men who were accused of killing her have been acquitted of the crime. Many people think that this may go all the way up to Putin. What do you think?
Personally, I don't think that it's go all the way to Putin. We still don't know where it goes exactly. But and these people who were on the trial, they probably were involved, but they're not the killers. They just... they think who was the killer, but they couldn't find him, you know. And they were involved, but they were not the main figures. You know, we still don't know, and I want to know, who actually ordered this killing.
Well, the Russian government went as far as to say that it was an outside job to disrupt the country's stability. Does anyone buy that?
No.
But she was murdered when Vladimir Putin was still president, and he had a very unemotional response to her assassination, saying, in essence, that her murder had more of an impact on the country than any of her writing ever did. How did you react to that?
You know, somebody told me about this. It was came on the day of Anna's funeral. But, you know, I was so... in such state that I didn't even pay attention. Somebody told me, and I thought, you know, I personally don't care what he thinks, you know. It's his own business.
But was he right? Was she able to affect any real change through her reporting?
Of course he wasn't, you know.
She was having an impact on public opinion?
Yes, she had. Probably not as big as she wanted, because her newspaper, Novaya Gazeta, doesn't have a huge circulation. But I know that people who read her and who are subscribers to the newspaper, they just, in some small local towns, they just pass newspaper to each other, and, you know, although there is one
subscriber.
It's almost
like Samizdat.
It's not Samizdat. It's no normal newspaper, you know. But there is people still reading it, and thanks God, now they have even a website, so it's more people can read it.
But why do you think that paper isn't read by more people? Why would they prefer the official version of the news?
You know, a lot of people don't read newspapers at all, I would say. They mainly watch TV in the news. And all most TV stations in Russia are state-owned. So if you want to nowadays to have just a real picture of what's going on, you just go online.
My guest is Elena Kudymova. We're talking about her six sisters' writings. The book is Anna Politkovskaya, Is Journalism Worth Dying For?, published in this country by Melville House Publishing. I said you were one of the original editors of the book and helped in the translation. Can we talk a bit about her Russian style? Was it something that was easy to translate into English?
I don't know, but the translator who did it, Mr. Arch Tate, he did it brilliantly. You know, I was reading most Anna's book, which were translated, because, you know, she used to have libel cases in Russia, and I was very scared that probably the translator wouldn't understand something, and it will be put wrongly, and she will have another libel case. That's why I usually, when I have a signal copy or a draft or whatever it's called, I just usually, it took me several days, I just have Russian manuscript and the signal copy, and I just was reading line after line.
To make sure that
everything is
perfect. So you have to live under that kind of, even that kind of threat.
Yes, because, you know, it was a threat to my parents to lose their daughter, you know, to me, to lose my sister.
She once gave an interview in which she talked about a Russian superstition, one that says that by voicing your biggest fear, you can actually cause it to happen. So
exactly.
So she wouldn't.
Russians are very superstitious, traditionally.
But I'm assuming her biggest fear was that she was going to be assassinated.
Yes.
And she kept on putting herself into situations where she was vulnerable. When she went to Chechnya, where all of these terrible things were being done, I'd assume that she was particularly vulnerable.
Yes, but as we know, it didn't happen in Chechnya. It happened in Moscow.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that a bit of a surprise? I mean, she was detained by Russian forces in Chechnya.
She was.
And she never really wrote in detail what she endured. Did she ever discuss that with you?
Yes, she did.
I guess it was something she wanted to keep to herself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It must have been incredibly painful.
It was.
The Chechen people loved Anna, and the rebels trusted her.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she was brought in as an intermediary during the 2002 hostage-taking crisis in that Moscow theater you were talking about. What was she able to accomplish there?
Not much, unfortunately. You know, she came all the way from the States and straight from the airport. She went to this theater, and she and another man who is a very prominent pediatrician in Russia. They managed to negotiate with the people who took hostages just to bring water, juices, at least give liquids to people because they were suffering without food and drink. And everybody was hoping that it will give some time for the government to start negotiations with the with the people who took hostages. But it didn't happen. They just decided.
It was a terrible tragedy.
Yes.
It was a bloodbath, in effect, and many people were upset with how the government handled it.
Yes.
Now, she went off to write an article in which she interviewed an alleged double agent who was inside the theater but escaped before the military raid. What was her theory as to what happened?
I think she put it all in her article. She didn't has another. She didn't have another conspiracy theory about that.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like almost everything that happens these days can lead to a conspiracy theory. Is that? Well, you live in London.
Yes.
How much time do you spend in Russia these days?
Quite a lot. I still travel to Russia at least a month.
Do you, and since you grew up during the Soviet era,
mm-hmm.
do you think that things are a lot better these days?
Yes, to some extent, yes. I can live in London. In the Soviet time, I probably still be living in Moscow.
If you could get permission to live in Moscow if you came from somewhere else.
No.
They used to limit.
Yes, there was. But I grew up in Moscow, you know. And so it's my hometown city. So, and probably, but of course there are changes for better, but there is still not, we're still not there where we dreamt to be in 90s.
And is there anyone who's picked up the slack where Anna left off? Are there other journalists who are doing the same kind of reporting or is... Because one of the assumptions is that when you assassinate somebody who's speaking out, that's a warning to anyone else who would try to do the same thing.
Yes, it is. It was a warning. But there are people in Novaya Gazeta who do the same. They're trying to do the same. But thanks God, the conflict in Chechnya itself almost finished. But it moved to other North Caucasian regions,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately. And actually, Anna foresaw it in her writing. She was just warning the government about Chechenization of the of Russia.
And now there may be a war with Georgia or in the surrounding areas. It seemed to be constant tensions.
But there was this, a short war with Georgia already, you know. But the main problem lies inside Russia, in the areas of Dagestan, Ingushetia, the neighboring areas of West Chechnya.
How are her children today? They're grown up, you say?
Yes.
Are they involved in journalism in any way?
Yes, although her daughter was graduated as a violinist, she worked as a journalist before her child was born, and she's looking for a job now. She would like to continue working as a journalist.
They involved at all in the investigation of the murder because it's never been solved.
No, they're involved only with the investigation, which is carried out by Novaya Gazeta. It's an independent investigation apart from General Prosecutor's Office.
So do you have any hope that this is ever going to be resolved, at least?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, I do.
By this government?
It doesn't matter, you know, because there is also independent investigation made by Honest newspaper. It doesn't depend on government at all.
What do you hope people who are not all that familiar with all of the ins and outs of what goes on in Russia will get from this book?
I think it's an insight, you know, into the modern Russian history, because it's invaluable source of information for anybody interested in what's going on. Because if they read newspapers or trying to get information from official media, they wouldn't be able to get the real picture.
She wrote, this was found on her computer, "I will not go into all the joys of the path I have chosen, the poisoning, the arrests, the menacing by mail and over the internet, the telephone, death threats. The main thing is to get on with my job, to describe the life that I see. What am I guilty of? I have merely reported what I witnessed, nothing but the truth." Mm-hmm. And Salman Rushdie wrote a little blurb. He said, "We will continue to read her and learn from her for years." And I suspect other journalists will feel that as well. I want to thank you so much for being with us to talk about this American edition of this compilation of writings called "Is Journalism Worth Dying For? Final Dispatches." It's published by Melville House Publishing, and I've been talking to the sister of Anna Politkovskaya, Elena Kodomova. It's been a real pleasure.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you.